My guest at this time is Jesse Jane Duff. For 20 years, a U.S. Marine rising to the rank of Gunnery Sergeant. She is also a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. She joins us today to talk about a number of issues related to the Department of Veterans Affairs, including a disturbing new report about how long veterans are left waiting for a response on a suicide hotline, as well as just what she's seeing so far and what we should expect if real reform is happening at the VA here in the early stages of the Trump administration. And Jesse Jane, thanks very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's always an honor to come on and talk about issues that are so important to those who have served this country.
And you do so very well. So let's dive into the troubling report here. This is from the Inspector General for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And what has been revealed here is the amount of time that veterans calling what's called the Veterans Crisis Line, or VCL, it's been established for about 10 years now, answers roughly 500,000 calls a year, and how many folks are being routed to overflow call centers. Right now, the report shows that the goal was to have no more than 10% rollover, which is still 10% too many. But now the rate is nearly 30% as recently as last November. And back in October, it was nearly 35%. Some people waiting on a crisis hotline for up to 30 minutes for their call to be answered. What's your reaction to hearing this news?
You know, it's disgusting. I mean, every American should be absolutely disgusted with this rate for a suicide hotline. It is, I'm just kind of numb to a point where the VA is just a gift that keeps on giving when it comes to giving me an opportunity to come out and scream and yell. At some point in my life, I hope to be able to stop screaming and yelling. I am very, very astounded that this issue, which has come up before, I believe that this was addressed several years ago. Like you said, this hotline's been around for about 10 years now. This isn't new. Veterans have reported that they have been placed on hold for 30 minutes time and time again. I am quite confident if we were to pull up the data, we would see little or no improvement in this process. So I don't know what good it does at some point unless they're held accountable. Again, who's going to be held accountable for this? The staff obviously doesn't get fired. There's obviously minimal recourse for the veterans who are left on hold. What are they left to do? Reporting, it seems to not be getting anywhere. I'm just frustrated beyond belief. I understand this is a new administration, and I'm willing to give the new Secretary of the Veterans Administration an opportunity to correct all of these issues. But I do hope that us bringing this forward in the first 50-some-odd days of this new administration, they take it very seriously. The VA, time and time again, misrepresents and mishandles veterans. Not only are they slapping them in the face, knowing that they have 20 veterans a day killing themselves. 20 veterans a day, this is by the VA's own stats themselves. For them to put them on hold for 30 minutes, do you not think that that's contributing to potentially the suicide rate? Not only that, many veterans who were deemed mentally defective, which is a term given to veterans who no longer handle their financial affairs, people who were found ill-equipped to handle their finances, were being placed on a list, sent over to DOJ, and were being deprived their gun rights. So a bill had to be submitted to the House to say, look, the DOJ cannot be taking away the Second Amendment rights of all these veterans because they were deemed mentally defective. Well, guess who comes out and says, well, you need to because we have 20 veterans killing themselves a day? General Petraeus. Well, I'm thinking, wait a minute, mentally defective does not equate suicide. And if the VA cares so much about suicide, why aren't they answering their phones? So, I mean, instead of helping these veterans, they'll do anything to take away their rights instead of restoring their life to full capacity, which is basically in a roundabout way. My point here is that what is the VA doing to benefit veterans versus take away rights, taking away their opportunities to be living American citizens within their communities? But to sit here and anybody who is potentially recognized they have an issue, they're contemplating suicide, civilian or otherwise, to have them wait 30 minutes is ridiculous. And then the excuses they give, they say, well, they're not being put on hold because right. They were rerouted to an overflow center, and they said, we didn't put them on hold. Well, quit patting yourself on the back to a caller that was waiting 30 minutes. In that time, they could have pulled a trigger or driven off the bridge.
We're talking with Jesse Jane Duff, and Jesse, obviously, as you and I have discussed on a number of occasions, overhauling the VA, reforming it into an institution that actually functions and actually helps veterans in the way that it's intended to, is a massive job. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in just a moment. But something like this, how easy should it be to improve the efficiency of this particular program?
This particular program, okay, you have over 300,000 employees approximately with the Veterans Administration. They have the second largest budget next to DOD. So what you would have to do is centralize where this particular system is located, and you would have to obviously enable it with an efficient and effective staff. This should be like a 911 call center. 911 does not place you on hold. It's simple as that. It is considered an emergency. It should be run effectively. I would suggest and recommend that they review the policies within each state on how they handle 911 calls, how they have an overflow. If you have an overflow, does it get routed to another center, which it does, that is able to take the calls? Everything should be handled like a 911 call center. If states are running their 911 call centers effectively, why can't the VA run its suicide hotline center effectively? Please don't tell me it's due to a lack of personnel or due to a lack of budget. I dare to say if they were able to fire some of these executives who have mismanaged the VA so well over the last 8 years and plus, then we would probably have people that take their position a little bit more seriously. They obviously need to get an effective example of a call center that where there's an immediate response, and the best one I'm aware of is the 911 call centers. If they aren't answering those phones, there is obviously a flaw in even having a center set up. Why is it the VA has to handle all of these calls themselves? Maybe they need to have other locations, other opportunities that are not necessarily government affiliated that handle some of the calls also. There's a lot of ways of getting this run effectively. It's not a difficult solution. I'm quite confident of that. But I am also confident that the VA has been filled with so much bureaucracy and mismanagement that many veterans are going to continue to see this problem until they start firing people who don't take their jobs seriously.
Well, that's a good point, and that is a perfect jumping off point to the larger picture. Now, it's only been 2 months, 60 days basically, since President Trump took office. It's been even shorter than that since his VA Secretary David Shulkin has been confirmed and on the job. He raised a few eyebrows by going with David Shulkin since he was an Obama appointee, originally Undersecretary for Health at the VA. You and I talked about potential secretaries, and his name certainly wasn't on the short list.
No.
What do you know about him, and how confident are you that he can tackle this big of a job?
Okay, so I've received a lot of negative information about Shulkin from veterans who knew of his efforts within the administration and or oversight. I stopped them dead in their tracks. I said, first of all, he was falling under a different administration. Secretary McDonald was in charge. He had to follow the status quo of the leadership in which he fell under. I would say, I'm going to give this man an absolute 100% shot at this because I'm very confident that President Trump, when he interviewed him, said, we're cleaning this up. There's no more hiding the bodies in the backyard. You know, and I mean that figuratively, not literally. There's going to be no more protecting employees that have proven to be faulty. You're going to find out how we can resolve these issues with the unions that continually reinstate employees that should have not been reinstated. We can all look up many executives that were able to receive back pay due to mismanagement and inappropriate behavior because the unions have protected them very, very well. You're going to have to give me a method in how to clean it up because you know where the bodies are. Shulkin, you know what has been happening. And the one thing I really appreciate about Secretary Shulkin is that he doesn't need a ramp-up time. He's already been there. He's been there for quite some time. He came on midstream with the Obama administration after Secretary Shinseki had resigned. He came under the new watch under McDonald. He has private enterprise experience. He knows what efficiencies and effectivenesses are, and I'm not going to hold the past against him. What I'm looking at right now is the future. What is he going to do to correct this? He knows what the problems are, and I expect that he was given the Riot Act by President Trump because President Trump is not going to bring on the same old to do the same thing. I guarantee they had that type of a conversation that now you can reform it. You know where everything's at. You know who screwed up. You know what needs to be fixed. Give me a plan, and I guarantee he's going to have President Trump's support in every aspect in which he needs.
Jesse, last question. Results is what we keep hearing about how Donald Trump hires people and whether he keeps them or not. He expects results, and he expects strong results in a relatively short period of time. So 6 months from now, a year from now, maybe by the midterms, what should we be seeing if this is actually real reform?
I think for simple things like this, like the suicide hotline, I better not hear about it in 3 more months. I think this is something that needs to be addressed immediately. Things where the VA gets in the headlines for unnecessary, inappropriate behavior by the staff, such as down in West Palm Beach, where they wouldn't even hang up the secretary or the president's photo. And the administration had been in place for 50 days. And when the congressman called them and said, why aren't these photos up? Somebody belligerently had stated, well, he's not our president. These are things that can be rectified immediately. You don't embarrass your administration. You take it seriously, and you take your commander-in-chief seriously. I don't care who the commander-in-chief is. Veterans served under every commander-in-chief, Democrat, Republican. Most veterans aren't even political, for that matter. They're not necessarily affiliated to any political party. And if I could serve under various commanders-in-chief, then the employees of the Veterans Administration need to take this seriously and start stepping up. So I do expect simple things start getting resolved. When it comes to dealing with the unions, I expect to see results within the year. I expect to see that they've put forward multiple measures to start allowing them to start firing these employees, and the unions have roundabouts and ways to get around these new laws. We should now be able to fine-tune those things so that we can get rid of executives who have mismanaged and misappropriated funds and money and have had vets die on their watch due to that mismanagement. Also, I do expect that the American public gets behind the Veterans Second Amendment Protection Act. It's going up in front of the Senate. This is where the VA has sweepingly made veterans ineligible to practice their Second Amendment rights when they have failed on their own level to handle suicide, but they're trying to use that as their excuse to keep these veterans from purchasing firearms. None of these have been declared mentally ill. They have been mentally defective because they don't handle their finances. Half of America probably can't handle their finances. What are we going to do next? Have credit reports run? So veterans deserve their rights. Veterans should be able to receive health care in an efficient and timely manner, not be waiting over 30 days for screenings for cancer. Many of these locations have had 2-3 screenings before they'll get to go in for a colonoscopy, and by then many of these veterans have been found to be in stage 4 cancer. One veteran just won a lawsuit against the Phoenix VA, where I believe it was a $2.5 million lawsuit, but he's already in stage 4 cancer, and he will be deceased probably in the next 5 years. So this is inappropriate. The VA has to be held accountable. I expect to see results short-term for the simple things, long-term for the bigger things, I expect in a year. I'm not even talking midterms, because if this doesn't get corrected, then somebody needs to be removed from this position, and we need to find somebody who's willing to do the deep dive and go in there and dig.
Jesse, we'll be watching. Thanks very much for your time today, as always.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Jesse Jane Duff is a 20-year veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, serving as a gunnery sergeant. She is now a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.